The book of Acts, chapter 8, I believe we got all the way through verse 25, didn't we? That sounds right to me. Verse 25. So we'll begin in verse 26. And this is what we read. Book of Acts, chapter 8, verse 26. And the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, Arise and go toward the south unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert. Philip had been working up north of Jerusalem in the area that you and I call Samaria, in the city of Samaria. And do you remember many, many people got saved? A church was formed there. Peter and John came up, prayed with them also. We had that whole incident that happened with Simon, the sorcerer. And that, remember that whole situation where he was there with the church. He was there following Philip around, but he was not a true believer. And of course, that all came out. You remember Peter said, you're in deep trouble. And you remember Simon's response. Can't go over all that. But now, this is what we read. The angel of the Lord speaks to Philip and says, get up and go. Get up and go toward the south. The way that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. You know what's out there? Desert. Nothing. Verse 27 says, And he rose and he went. And behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority under Candace. We pronounce it Candace in our world, but the pronunciation is Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had the charge of all her treasure. This Ethiopian did. And had come to Jerusalem for to worship, was returning and sitting in his chariot, read Isaiah the prophet. So let's put it all together. The angel of the Lord spoke to Philip and said, get up and go. Go down to the desert area down there near Gaza. In that desert area. Just go down there. And Philip got up and he went. Well, and behold, a man was there of Ethiopia. He was the finance minister of Ethiopia. He worked for Candace, the queen. He had charge of all the money. And he had just been to Jerusalem to worship at the temple. That's interesting because that would probably mean or make him to be a proselyte. In other words, the Ethiopians or that area, it was the area that we call Ethiopia today, if you look at a map, is not what we're talking about. Not just that area. It would cover most of Sudan and that area west of Sudan. So you're looking at a large, large country, which would involve now about three or four of the African countries. And he was the finance minister over it all. So you knew he carried some authority. And there he is. He had been to Jerusalem, and he was worshiping there. Okay, well, we've read Deuteronomy, you and I, we've been through it. So we know eunuchs are not allowed to worship in the house of the Lord. You remember that, didn't you? That came right to your mind, didn't it? So you go, oh, wow. I mean, if he was worshiping over there, what did he do? Well, he could probably enter into the court of the Gentiles, but he couldn't enter into the holy place, or obviously no one can enter into the Holy of Holies. So he's over there worshiping the best that he can. He's got a copy of some of the scriptures, it looks like, the Old Testament, the things that God had written down, and he's reading through Isaiah. But I don't want to go there. Let's back up. Let's go back to the beginning. God said, the Spirit of the Lord said, get up and go. No explaining. I mean, you don't see any. What is the scripture says? The angel of the Lord said, spoke to Philip and said, get up and go toward the south to the way that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza, which is desert. No explanation. No special assignment. No papers to carry down there. No further information besides get up and go. Just leave here right now and head down to the desert. And Philip said, you got to be kidding. There's no one down there. That is desert. There are no cities to be a part of. There's no place. That's dumb. What do you know, Lord, I put out a bunch of flyers. just the other night inviting people to Bible study. We got a church going. Are you aware that I have been preaching? People are saved. Peter and John were just here. Man, we got a church. I can't just leave. Are you kidding? That's not you, Lord, is it? I just made all that up. Because the Bible doesn't say that, does it? You know, Lord, we got another Bible study planned for this coming Wednesday. I was going to take them through. We're going to talk about your second return. We're going to talk about the rapture. I can't go now. And Lord, nothing personal, but there's nothing down there. Now, if you want your word spread, you got to send me to places where people are. Hello? Things are going fine here. The ministry's growing. I can't just pack up and leave. What would people think? Wouldn't it be a waste of my time and my talent? I mean, you've given me, obviously, the gift of an evangelist. Wouldn't it be a waste to go stand in the middle of nowhere? It would be a waste, Lord, of your gifts and your resources, wouldn't it? He didn't say any of that. What was wrong with poor Philip? What did he do? You don't hear him saying a thing. What did he do? God said, get up and go. And the Bible says Philip got up and went. You know something? You have just been taught a powerful lesson in the will of God. Maybe you've been praying it. Lord, I want to know your will. I want to do your will. You know what God says? All right, get up and go to the desert. Oh, no. Come on, Lord. Stop your joking. I mean, I'm here. I'm gifted. You've called me. There's lots of people. There's a church going. No, Philip got up and he went. He left a strong, healthy ministry because they've been cleaning it out. We just saw Simon sort of get booted out of the bunch. And where did he go? Nowhere. Yeah, that's what it was called. It's the desert place. There's nothing out there. There is no city where you're going. He got up and he went down to that area. God's will. What is God's will for your life and mine? Well, notice, here's a lesson. Those of you that say, I want to know God's will. I want to do God's will. Here's a lesson for you and me. Watch. God says, get up and go to Idaho. And you could say, you're kidding. It snows there. It gets down below 80 there. And people get frostbite. They have to cut their fingers and toes off. It's that cold there. There's nothing up there. I mean, and well, I hear there's a couple other churches, and you know, come to find out there's a couple thousand. Why do that? Why? Doing fine right down here. Things are great. You want to do God's will? You know what God's word says? Get up and go. And Philip got up and went. And Philip on the way could have said, you know, if you'd have stopped him, he's headed through Jerusalem. He's coming on out south of town. Some guys are walking with him because they're going to head out to maybe to Bethlehem or something. And they're walking. And they go, where are you going? He goes, don't know. You're one of those Christians, aren't you? Yeah, how'd you know? You don't know where you're going? No. No, but I have a pretty good idea. Where? Going out to the middle of the desert over there. You got to be nuts, man. It's hot. You're not carrying anything. You know, like, shouldn't you take some water or something? How long are you going to stay there? No, I don't know. Well, what are you going to do? I don't know. You're going to be down there really long? Don't know. Well, what are you going for? God told me to go. Your God would do that to you? Send you in the middle of nowhere and with no plan of attack? Hey, wait a minute. There's God's will. Get up and go. Now, when Philip gets there, God's going to give him the next thing to do. Notice, everyone, God's will. obey the Lord. You say, I want to do your will. And God says, all right, here's what I want you to do. And you go, why? That doesn't make, what can I do? Have that? I don't have the money. There's nothing, it's too big. I don't, it's hot. You want to do God's will? Obey Him. Just obey Him. Go to Idaho. Okay. You know, when I came to Idaho and God called us up here, we knew. There was no question of the Lord. The way He answered prayers so specifically, we knew. But we didn't understand why. I still don't. We didn't understand why. I'm a pastor. At least I think I am. Most people say I'm not. But in my own opinion, my own humble opinion, I teach the Bible. That's kind of what I do. I don't do much else. I'm not capable. And so when I came up here for the first few months, I wasn't teaching the Bible. And I thought, this isn't working. And I went to Chuck and I said, I need to teach. Nobody needs to listen, but I need to teach. So we came up on a plan. I would teach a little Bible study. But we would do it on a Friday night. That couldn't offend anybody. That couldn't hurt anybody's ministry. Nobody was doing anything on Friday nights. But since it works, notice a lot of people are doing it now. That's what I like about Christians. They won't jump on until they know it'll float. Then everybody hops on and goes, whoa, look at us. So we started Friday night. That couldn't be in anybody's way. That couldn't offend anybody. That couldn't take other people from other ministries. Couldn't possibly. Notice how you just say to Philip, get up and go. And he got up and he went. But he didn't know what exactly he was doing. He didn't know where exactly he was going. He did not know why he was doing this, except this is what God said. And look what God does. You obey this step. And then after you take this step, God says, okay, now here's what I want you to do next. And you could go, well, that's even dumber than getting down here. Start a Bible study on Friday nights. Do you know that when we started a Bible study on Friday nights, Christians told me no one will come. Because Friday nights are when we do our high school games. We got basketball. We got football. No one will come on a Friday night. Well, let's just pray about it. Because all I really want to do is teach the Bible. It doesn't matter how many of the sheep come out of the hills. Just make sure that the ones that come out, you can feed them. God didn't say what we were going to do after you started Fridays. He just said, well, we'll teach a little Friday study. Just do that. You know, I came from the Bible college. And there at the Bible college, they would let me teach 5-6 hours a day, sometimes straight. And then you come up to Idaho. And you're doing nothing. You're not teaching anything. Just studying your Bible. And that's good. That's important. And you're thinking, man, maybe God has set me on a shelf. Maybe I've done my time. Maybe I'm finished. I'll just do a little research and we'll talk about the New Age and the occult. And yeah, that's nice for inquiring minds. But Philip got up and he went. You want to do God's will? You say, I really do. Then take that step, even when you don't know what step comes next. Obey the Lord. And I've noticed, it's been my experience in my own life, but even more important, forget that if you want, through Scripture, I have noticed that the experience is this. God does not give us the whole story all at once. Have you noticed that about your own walk? He doesn't give us the entire story. He doesn't reveal the whole battle plan to us all at once. One step at a time, and that's how He leads His people. And if you will do His will and take that step, then He'll wait. And once you do, He'll give you the next step to take. It's Psalms. I want to do Psalm first. Psalm 37, verse 23. Psalm 37, verse 23. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and He delighteth in His way. The steps of a good man. That would include men and women, those who belong to the Lord, the righteous, those of us that say, we're really His. I really am saved, washed in the blood of the Lamb. I've got Jesus Christ into my life. He's given me eternal life. Okay, then your steps are ordered by the Lord. You start to read your Bible, you begin to pray, you begin to seek His will, and then He says something like, go down to the desert right out there in the area of Gaza. There was nothing but desert. And you say, Lord, I'm your servant. Here I go. And we pray for the trip. Lord, give us a safe trip. And then we head on out, don't we? And you don't know what's going to happen. Look at Proverbs 16:9. A man's heart deviseth his way, but the Lord directs his steps. I got this plan, Lord. I got this great idea. And so I'm bringing it to you. Here it is. I lay it at your feet. We're going to move, Paul says. There's the way you ought to say it. We're going to move to such and such a city and buy and sell and get gain if the Lord wills. Whatever you say, Lord, the steps are yours to command. So go down to the desert. Now, if you say, I hate heat, I won't go, then chances are good you won't know what the next step is. All right, Lord, I'll make you a deal. Tell me the first five steps, and I might take the first one. And God says, no, get up and go. And what does the Bible say? Philip got up and he went. He does not know what's coming. He just knows God is good all the time. Well, we also learn in the verses that we read, which would have been, what, 26, 27, and 28. We learn that the Ethiopian was a very important person in the land of Ethiopia, then the land of Ethiopia. This was a black man. As a matter of fact, in that area, they are so black, they're blue. They kind of shine. It's kind of cool. They can't burn. We've gone out there and worked with them, and I'll work a few hours and run over to one of them and compare. I go, getting close, huh? They are dark. And here this man is, the finance minister of that nation. He held the purse strings for the country. He worked directly for the queen. And his wealth is shown here by the fact that he is riding in a chariot. Not on a donkey, not in this little beat up little covered thing, but in a chariot. Someone is driving him around. Here is an important, important man. Now, when was the last time? Will you watch Philip? He's going to ride in the finance minister of Ethiopia in his limo. Now, only God could have done that. Isn't that true? You go down to the desert having no idea what God wants, and you end up riding in a limo with the one who holds the purse strings for an entire nation. How would you have gotten to that Ethiopian eunuch otherwise? How would you, Philip, have gotten there? Never in your dreams, not in a million years, could you have pulled this off by yourself. You would have never dreamed about pulling it off. Some of you have had experiences like that, haven't you? When I was in southern Sudan, I was there with Wes, and a lot of automatic gunfire had been going off. We were having some troubles, and Wes was gone. And one of the young chaplains decided he wanted to go to the front lines. And going to the front lines without being invited, when you have people who aren't in either army at the front lines, those are spies. So they send over a note to where we're at, there at the chaplain's center, and they say that the commanding officer in charge of this entire southern area wants to talk to whoever's in charge. And Wes is gone, so they looked at me and said, you're in charge. I said to Mike and Brad, you guys come along too. If they're going to shoot us for spies, I really would like it to be all three of us. I want to share. I just give and give and give. This is the man. This guy could have said, off of their heads, and you would die right on the spot. They shoot people on the spot. White people don't belong here. And so there is always a question of what you're doing here, even if you say you're teaching the Bible. That's why missionaries don't carry weapons into southern Sudan. Because you carry a weapon, it's going to be real hard to prove you were trying to teach the Bible. They are sure you're a spy at that point, so you got a problem on your hands. So there we go walking in, and you're on the way we pray, Lord, you got to please give us favor in the sight of this man. Never did we dream that we're going to be talking to the commanding officer of the entire area. That wasn't our goal, that wasn't our dream, but God did it. And we died. No, he gave us favor that day, as a matter of fact. He did, and we were able to talk with him. We told him simply this: we are Christians. We have Jesus Christ in our life. We're not doing anything here but teaching the Bible. Well, why did your man go up front? Well, we're not sure. I think he just got a little excited and wants to see and he probably wants to share with the soldiers, and he just jumped the gun, and he's not a bad guy, and can you bring him back? He says, yes, we have him locked up right now near the front lines. We arrested him, and we're going to bring him back, but it'll be hours. I forget how long it was going to take him to get him back. I can't remember. Did they get him back the same day? I can't remember. He came back that night, or was it the next day? Anyway, they did bring him back to us in one piece. But there we're able to talk about the name of Jesus. There we're able, with a few of the guards in the room who have the weapons, and he lets us sit down, and we're talking, and he was firm. How would Philip ever do this on his own? He wouldn't. You don't know what the next step is, do you? Are you willing to take the first one? First one would probably be the hardest one, wouldn't it? Leave here where everything's going great. You got a place to stay. You've got people inviting you to lunch. I mean, then Bible study, it's happening here. Now leave here and go somewhere where it ain't happening. Notice another thing. This Ethiopian eunuch, who had been to Jerusalem to worship, obviously he was seeking the Lord. He wants to know about God. And he's reading through the book of Isaiah. From later on, we see he's reading in chapter 53 of Isaiah. All we like sheep have gone astray. That part of Isaiah. And the Lord has laid on him, Messiah, the iniquity of us all. Well, look at this. Verse 29 says, then the Spirit saith unto Philip. Philip went all the way down to Gaza. Let me ask you a question. He was up in Samaria, in a city called Samaria. And he had to head down to the southland, out to the desert. How much did it cost him? And how long did it take him? I'll wait. Don't know, do you? I don't either. But I can tell you this. He walked. And I can tell you this. He wasn't somebody who was being supported by some kind of missionary outfit out there. He's just someone who the Lord spoke to and said, head down to the desert. And he went. Well, I don't know how long it took him, but you can take a look at the map and you think about you walking it. And you can get a good idea. The Spirit said unto Philip, as he watched this Ethiopian eunuch riding in his chariot, reading the book of Isaiah, the Spirit said to Philip, go near and join yourself to the chariot. In American, go over there and run along next to it. Join yourself to it. That doesn't mean get in it. You can't. You're not invited. But you could run along next to it. It's a free land, sort of. I mean, Rome's kind of do it, but you could run along next to it. So here's what he says. Go down, get up and go. That's step number one. You don't question it. Lord wants me to go. I'm headed out. Guys, pray for me. He gets down to that area. It's desert. And so, lo and behold, surprise, happens to be a few people traveling through. The Ethiopian eunuch, and I'm sure there are probably a few people of his staff that were with him. And he's riding in his chariot, and he's reading Isaiah, the prophet. And the Spirit says, all right, now that you're here, here is step number two. Go near the chariot. Just run alongside it. That's all I want you to do. That's embarrassing. And they're hot out here, isn't it? Nice seeing you. I'm telling you right now, a lot of Christians would not have done that. They wouldn't have gone down because it would have cost money. They wouldn't have gone down because why would you leave the comfort of what you've got here? They wouldn't have gone down because it doesn't make sense. And if it doesn't make sense, it can't be the Lord. They wouldn't have gone down because, uh-oh, what will happen when I get there? How will I get back? I mean, what if? Just think. You know why we think that way is we have forgotten that He is providing for us here. You know that, don't you? We assume we're doing this ourselves. Hey, I work hard. And He gave you the health. And should He allow the health to be gone, you won't be working hard. Don't you understand that what we're doing right now, He allows. What we're doing right now, He has set up. And that it is not me, it is not you, it is not because we're full of energy and strength and we can handle it. No, it's not that way at all. It's because God is good. He is patient. And watch this. The Spirit says to Philip, go near and join yourself to this chariot. Okay. You take step number one. Lord, I want to do your will. Then do this. And you obey it. Notice step number two. Just go and run alongside that chariot. This proves to you and me, once again, if you ever questioned, here it is, proof again, that the Lord will do whatever He has to do to reach those that really desire to know Him. You got one guy reading the Bible and not understanding it. And the Lord took one man all the way from Samaria, brought him all the way down because that guy wants to know. Whatever it'll take, God always gets the word to those who seek. Doesn't Jesus say it? Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened. Here is another scripture to prove to you that God cares for every individual. Even somebody who's doing fine, who's really well to do, doing great physically, who lives in Ethiopia. But spiritually, he's searching. He had just gone to Jerusalem to worship. Well, you know, he couldn't get all the way in, but still, that he's seeking the Lord. And so God says, we're going to make sure that he hears. I know that you're worried about those far off places. What about them? What if they never hear? What will happen to them? Listen, anyone seeking the Lord, God does what it takes to get his word to them. He always does. One man who truly wants to know the Lord. So the Lord sends Philip all the way just so that he could run along the side of this chariot. And what does Philip do? In verse 30, Philip ran there to him. Kind of picture us. What if it would have been Philip and me? I'd have said, I like heat, Philip, but there's no need to run in this kind of stuff. All right, it's too hot here. You're going to get heat stroke. Man, relax. Not Philip. Step number two is get over there and hook yourself up with that chariot. He runs over and is running alongside the chariot. What you reading? That is cool. He heard him read the prophet Isaiah and said, as he's running along, he goes, do you understand what you're reading? Because he heard him reading. The Ethiopian was obviously must have been reading it out loud. Philip hears it, and as he's running along the side of the chariot, he goes, do you understand that? What do you think, he was a marathoner? And you go, do you understand that, dude? No, I mean, it's hot, and he's running. Philip obeyed and began to run alongside the chariot. And the verse says he ran. He didn't grumble. It's too hot. It's too cold. It's too just plain. There's not enough grass here. I don't know the guy. I'm embarrassed. That's not my personality. What's he going to think when some weirdie starts running alongside of his chariot? He's probably going to have his guards kill me. You still run along the side of a chariot of the finance minister of another nation. I mean, they're protected. What do? Run up and say, hi, how's it going? Hey, what you reading? You notice? Those are the excuses. Those are the very things that keep us from doing what God has called us to do. That'd be embarrassing. I'm going to look a little silly. What if they take a swing at me? Philip ran there and heard him read the prophet Isaiah. And Philip asked him, do you understand what you're reading? Well, if the Ethiopian eunuch hadn't noticed this guy running along, now he knows. There's a guy out here running with the chariot. You know, that just doesn't happen usually. So he answers. And he said, because Philip said, do you understand what you're reading? How can I? Except some man should guide me. I don't understand. How can I? Someone's got to tell me what this means. And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. Philip is now riding in a limo with the finance minister of an entire nation. Never did he dream that in all of his dreams. He was doing great up there in Samaria. He had no plans to head on down south, but God said, you go down there. Philip obeyed. And God said, hook yourself up to that chariot, run along. And Philip obeyed. Now Philip is sitting down in comfort because now he's shaded. They probably have some water to drink or some grape juice. I don't know, maybe they had iced tea. And now they're chatting as the thing is moving along. The chariot is moving along. He says, no, I can't understand. I need someone to help me understand this. Can you understand it? Come up in here. Because he probably looked at Philip, and Philip, can you understand this? Well, sure, yeah. Well, then come up on into this chariot. Come right along. Now, Philip's in the chariot. And they're riding together. And look at verse 32. The place of the scripture which he read was this. He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb is silent before her shearers, so he opened not his mouth. Isaiah 53, verse 7, you can find that. In his humiliation, his judgment was taken away. And who shall declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. And the eunuch said to Philip, I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet this? Of himself or of some other man? As he reads those verses right directly out of Isaiah chapter 53, he stops and he says, who is this prophet talking about? Is he talking about his own self or is he talking about someone else? I don't know. I don't understand. Then Philip opened his mouth. You know, because if you're going to share with the Lord with others, you're going to have to sooner or later use words. I know that we all want our actions to speak loud, and they do, and they should. But sooner or later, you're going to have to tell people Jesus Christ loves you. He is God. It was God and is God in human flesh. And he died for your sins, and he was buried, and he was crucified and was buried. And he, on the third day, rose again. Jesus Christ, you're going to have to say these words out loud. He opened his mouth. And he began at that very same scripture, there in Isaiah 53, and preached unto this Ethiopian, Jesus. Isn't that what it says? Philip started there at that scripture in Isaiah 53, and he preached Jesus to him. He talked to this Ethiopian about Jesus Christ, the risen Savior. The Savior of the world, God in human flesh. That's who we should be talking about too. Don't you know? Jesus Christ and Him crucified and risen from the dead, the Son of the living God. That's who we should be preaching also. God's Word is what we should be speaking, not our opinions. We'll throw those in. We always do. Not our suppositions. Not how we continue to second guess on maybe this took place or maybe this is the scientific explanation and maybe this is exactly what God meant even though this is what He said. Now, all those things are nice, but you know what? All of the Word of God points to Jesus. So we need to preach the Word. And he is the Son of the living God and the Savior of the world. Well, he must have got quite a ways preaching Jesus, starting from Isaiah 53, because look at this next verse. And as they went on their way, they came to a certain water. They found water out there somewhere. And the eunuch said, look, here's some water. What's hindering me from being baptized? Hey, that means Philip probably talked about Jesus' baptism. That means Philip probably talked about the things that the Word of God had done up in Samaria. And we baptized others in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost. Jesus told us, you go preach the gospel, baptizing those that believe in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost. And Philip got that far. I mean, I don't know how long he rode, but you can see this is more than a 5-minute little trip here. I mean, he talked about Jesus Christ, and I'm sure they talked quite a while. Because you know how pastors are anyway. Philip, I'm sure you couldn't shut him up. And so the eunuch says, here's water. It looks like there's enough water here. I could be baptized. What's stopping me? What's hindering me? I believe, man. Let's do it. And Philip said, if you believe with all your heart, you may. He answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And he commanded the chariot to stand still. In other words, he told the driver, halt, whoa, stop. They went down both, or they both went down into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. Here's a lot of water. What's stopping me from being baptized? Look at Philip's answer. Hear this, everybody? Look at Philip's answer. You must believe first. If you believe with your whole heart, then you may be baptized. You must believe first. Baptism is not salvation. You must be born again and then be baptized, which is an outward sign, a public confession to the rest of the world. And we should be baptized. But the water is not going to save me. Simon was not saved, yet he was baptized. A public confession to show the world. But Peter said, you're in the gall and the bitterness. You're in deep trouble. You're not a part of this ministry or a part of this kingdom. You remember, Simon was not saved, yet he was baptized. It's not the water that does it. Well, what's hindering me? Here's water. I believe this. Here's water. I should get baptized. What's to stop me? You may be baptized if you believe with your whole heart. What did he answer? I believe Jesus Christ is the Son of God. So Philip says, good enough for me. And the eunuch says, stop this thing. And they both get into, now listen closely, nothing against how you personally baptize each other, but they got into, both of them, into the water. It was deep enough they could get into it. Philip didn't take his hand and get a little cup of some water and dump it on the guy's head. No, I mean, these guys got down together in the water. The Bible goes on to say, Philip baptized him. Philip and the eunuch got in the water. Philip baptized him. And when they were both come up out of the water, notice they went into the water, not just into it with their feet and their feetsies and their knees, but they got into the water. This Ethiopian eunuch was submerged. That's what the word baptized means, to completely submerge. Or to be completely surrounded. You are now, that's a public confession. Hey, he's in front of all these people that are his entourage, however many they are. And every one of them isn't a Christian. No, they don't even know. Here he is, the Ethiopian, says, I believe. He's baptized right there, publicly in front of everyone, to show his what? His death and his resurrection with Jesus Christ. He's completely submerged and comes back up a new man. Right? Of course, he's already been born again. Well, when they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught away Philip, and the eunuch saw him no more and went on his way rejoicing. When they came up out of the water, Philip got taken away. What a trip. Especially for a guy who comes up out of the water and, you know, you're kind of getting water out of your eyes. You look and there goes Philip. Dude, this is one strange country. What did the Ethiopian do? I've been dreaming. No, he went off rejoicing, didn't he? What happened to Philip? The Greek word is harpazo. He was caught up, caught away. Bible promises that those of us which are alive and remain in 1 Thessalonians 4:17, someday the Lord will shout, and that those that are alive will be caught away. And the exact same word is used, harpazo, it's a Greek word. It means violently seized, snatched away, caught up and away. Philip was caught up and away and set down. I mean, he flew away and was set down in a city called Azotus. Verse 40 says, Philip was found at Azotus. Not that he was lost, but he left the desert area. In obedience to God, he got down there. He baptized this eunuch, and then he zoomed off. He was caught away by the Lord himself and kind of set down over in a city on the coast, on the Mediterranean. And passing through, he preached in all the cities till he came to Caesarea. That means from Azotus, which is down south, on the coast, he went on up through the cities, headed on up north, and preached in every city till he got to Caesarea, preached there also. And he looks like he rented a home, or maybe even bought a house. He settled down there. Philip was caught up. God promises in 1 Thessalonians 4:17, that the church, those that are alive, will be caught up. And if you say, I don't believe it's possible, just go back and read the book of Acts, chapter 8. Near the end, where Philip would say to you, oh, it's possible, man. I mean, I was over here in the water. Next thing, he took me and set me over here on the coast. He landed at Azotus, over on the coast, Mediterranean, and he preached, headed up north. Ended up in a city called Caesarea. The next time we'll see him will be about 20 years from this baptism. And he's living in Caesarea. He's married. And he's raising 4 daughters. It'll be 20 years, about 20 years from now. How do you know what God's will is? I think it's just a lot more simple than you and I want to admit. Obey. Just obey what the Lord is telling you to do as the Lord speaks to your heart. And don't be afraid because he hasn't explained to you how you're going to make it, how it's going to work, what you would do after step number one. But don't be a fool. Say, you know, I think God wants me to go to Gaza too because, you know, some of us are pretty holy and we'll go outside and use that biblical method of letting the wind blow the pages. You know, the wind and then where it stops, that's we look down and, oh, that's what God wants me to do right there. You're saying, Lord, what do you want me to do? You let the wind blow the pages. You stop and you look down. And the Bible says, Judas went and hanged himself. Bummer. So you're a little more holy than most, so you say, well, and you let the wind blow the pages a little further. What thou doest quickly. Oh, bummer. No, that's not how you're going to discern God's will. You're going to pray, you're going to stay in the Word, stay in fellowship. Continue to walk, listening to the Lord, trusting in Him, being obedient in what you think is little and boring. All I do is this. Philip could have said, yeah, all I do is I do the preaching. You know, Peter and John show up, do the real work. Hey, you want to hear something? I'll throw this in, but we're going to talk about it when we get there. 20 years from now. Well, no, not even 20. Maybe, well, I won't pick a number because we'll talk about that. Years from now, Philip, living right in Caesarea, ministering there, raising godly kids, when God wants something done near the town of Caesarea, he doesn't use Philip. He brings Peter up, and Peter goes to do it so the Gentiles get preached to. Could he use Philip? Lord, you know, he's right there. Could have saved a lot of money. Could have saved a lot of time. Could have really gotten it done. Been here a while. Want to use me? Notice, when you think, why doesn't God use me? I'm gifted. I'm talented. I'm here. Why did God bring, what's his name way over here to do that? I could have taken it with us, saved a lot of time. It's not better than me. It's not that at all. It's God's will. God's doing something, and God knows just what he's doing. We don't. Don't worry. You don't need to question that God's going to mess up or waste any money or waste any time. God doesn't do that. He knows just what he's doing. He's using who he wants to for the purposes that he desires to, for the ends that he has planned for his kingdom and for his glory. So we don't need to panic on that. So he could have used somebody from Bethlehem, because that's a lot closer than Samaria, down to Gaza. He could have used one of the apostles. I mean, sure, they're busy, but he could have got him down there. But he took Philip out of that ministry and put him over here. Philip didn't go back to that ministry. Philip went off to the coast. God took him to the coast. And then he worked his way up the coast and stayed in Caesarea. Give him a chance to visit Paul when Paul finally gets saved and gets himself in prison. Notice, we obey. And we don't fret. Because God will do what he wants to do with us. And if we're obedient and take step number one, we can take step number two. He'll take us through. We trust him. And also, we need to be like this Ethiopian who says, I believe. Do you believe with your whole heart? I do. That Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God. And you see him there make that public confession, baptism, in front of his team that was around. Go back through it and read it. See if it really says all that. Pray about these things. Especially those of you that are saying, man, I really want to do your will, Lord. I want to know. Then listen to what the Lord tells you to do. And ask him for the strength to do just that. Let's bow our heads.